Romans chapter 1, if you're there, you're not there yet, but if you're getting there, you're doing all right. Romans chapter 1, let's go to Romans chapter 5, give me Romans chapter 5, and I want to explain some things this morning, just some thoughts that I've had, been going through my mind, and something that'll be of a help to you, I hope so, be an encouragement to you. Is this okay in Georgia? It's all right, take my coat off. It's a little bit muggy here. I've been in Texas for a while, McAllen, Texas, all the way down at the border. If you're familiar, hey, you're late, that's all right. And we're not looking at you or anything, we're pointing fingers or judging you. It's all right, we've already judged you before you come in. All right, here it is. As a result, isn't that funny? We're not supposed to judge people, but you judge people every day, don't you? I don't know about you, but I judge people. Like, I just judge those two people back there, just walking back in. I'm like, I got them already figured out. They're already judged. You already judged, come on in. Be part of it, amen. But as a result of that, my family is here, okay? We have some great things going on, I hope, this week. And somebody got a new car, so we got to see that afterwards. All right, so raise your hand. She got a new green car. It's a Kia Soul. If you haven't seen that yet, it's a little matchbox car, man. The thing's really cool, though. So go out and check it around. If you need a drive or something like that, make sure you put your deodorant on. You don't stink when you get in her car. Make sure you're smelling all right. All right, my family's here. My wife's here. You'll see her. You'll get to meet her. She is the sane part of us. She's a real sweetheart, and she sells jewelry, okay? So, ladies, if you want some jewelry, you can probably get something free off of her. She'll be all right about that. Don't worry about that. We're here ministering. So if you love jewelry, she loves jewelry. She'll talk jewelry with you. And then I got my kids. I know I talked about my kids last time. You're going to see I wasn't lying. Okay, you're going to see about all of it. I wasn't lying. My second born, Abigail, is a tomboy. She's tough as nails. She'll come up and punch you if you ask her to. She'll give you a hit, and she's a hard hitter. She's a lot of fun to be around. And then my son, Christopher, he's a good boy. He is. He's my oldest. He's a good boy. I like Chris. He's my partner in crime. You'll see that. And then Emily, you'll see her. She's a little bit emotional at times. She's a sweetheart. She's a giggle box. She'll laugh, and she'll tell you a bunch of stories. And then the last one is Johnny, and you're going to see, if you remember what I told you about Johnny last time, I won't say it again because he's here, but you're going to see, he's something else, man. He's a handful. He's the reason why I got some gray hairs in my beard, and he's my boy, but you're going to see him. He's full tilt. This morning, he's walking down the hallway, and he smacked his head. Remember last time he hit his head? Remember he split his head open, and he's bleeding all over the place, and it was one of those special times when I was watching him. And anyway, he hit his head right on one of those dividers, man. Smacked the side of his head right on the divider. And I'm thinking, man, I think there's some mental retardation issues. But anyway, as a result of all those things, I'm telling you, I love my boy. And you say, I would never say anything like that. It's all right. You judge me, I judge you. Remember all that stuff? All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Again, I want to be of a help to you. I promise I do. I want to explain two truths, really, and I'm going to mix them together, okay? I want you to see something. Your body is separated into three parts, all right? It's not so much in a spiritual way. Let me put it this way. In a spiritual way, your body is separated into three parts. You have your body, which everybody sees. You have your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then the Spirit of God, when you're saved, is made alive. So that's three parts. And in that, you need to see if you're not saved, if you don't know Christ, you only got two parts, really. Your spirit is dead, and then your body, soul, and spirit, or your body, soul, and spirit, it's your soul, which is your mind, your will, and emotions. So let me explain this to you really quick. Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotions, and many times it runs the show. Often we want the Spirit of God to run the show, but many times it's your own thinking, your own understanding. I know everybody's favorite verse, at least they'll put in their yearbook, is, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's true, but what happens is we're Americans. And many times we don't need faith because we're Americans. Okay, many times we don't even need to listen to God because, after all, we're Americans. We can get this all figured out. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying it happens. And many times we just got it all figured out, so we just lean into our own understanding. We figure it out for ourselves, and what happens is God doesn't direct your paths, and you become a failure when it comes spiritually. So what you need to see is your mind, your will, and emotions are all over the place. And it's not just ladies, fellas. Our emotions get all over the place at times. I don't mean to indict ladies on it, but what happens is your mind, your will, and emotions are fluctuating. And if you listen to your emotions all the time, we dealt with it last time, you're going to be in a mess. I mean, it's just like saying, Jesus says that everything we do is a surrender issue. If I come up and slap you on one side of the face, your emotions want to knock me out. You'll McGregor me. I don't know what you'll do, man. You'll knock me out. Okay, it's going to be MMA something. I saw the fight. I thought McGregor should have won. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not a Mayweather fan. I think both of them are cocky, but I like McGregor better because he's Irish. But I'll tell you this, what happened was this, is that you're going to want to knock me out because, friends, I'm going to tell you, you want to lean onto your emotions. Don't you? I mean, I do. Many times I want to lean onto my emotions, and I'm telling you today, God, all God asks for is just surrender, saying this, God, you're right, I'm wrong. God, I'm just going to listen to what you say, regardless of what my feelings want to do. Now, we deal with it all the time because we get put in coast mode. As an adult, I'm going to tell you, I get in coast mode. I go here, I preach. I go here, I preach. Even the work and the mundane. So in light of that, I need you to see that's what this message is based on today, is based on the fact that we want to lean onto our own understanding and in all our ways acknowledge us and not let God direct our paths. It happens all the time. It's like some of you guys are getting ready to go to college. You haven't even prayed about it yet. You're like, well, I'll find time to pray, but I mean, I'm going to get to that. Why? Because you already got it figured out. This is what I'm going to do. This is going to make me the most money. And this is going to be, that's fine. I mean, if you make $1 million, don't forget this small little evangelist. But I'll tell you this, that's not the point. The point is this, God may direct you in the same path that your heart and desire is in. You just got to simply run to Him and surrender to Him. Friends, I know I make it sound simple, but it's not simple. The Christian life is tough. It's really tough. You can let go and let God all you want, but I'm going to tell you, that means you're going to be active, okay, in surrender. All right, simple? No, okay? No, it's not simple. It's tough. All right, so in light of all those things, let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says this, after the great salvation passages that we have even before this, and Romans 3:23, and for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, and then we go into Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, and Romans wrote, it says here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope with the glory of God. If I was going to study, I was going to go all the way to verse 5, but we won't do that. Dealing with the first two verses is this. It's talking about God's grace. It's talking about justification first, which means salvation, knowing that you're saved on your way to heaven. But it talks about God's grace. God's grace is really this. It's His enablement to do His will and only His will. Could we say it that way? Let's put it this way. He's not going to give you grace to go down to the bar and take a couple shots of whiskey just so you can witness to the bartender. Okay, is that simple? He's not going to enable you to do that. He may be merciful at times, but He's not going to enable you to do that. What I'm saying is God tells us to say, let's go out soul winning. Let's get up and read our Bible. You know, which I understand. Listen, I understand what we did this morning was lean onto our own understanding when it comes to reading our Bible. I get it. Okay, we're worried about how we look and all these. I understand that. And fellas, we're worried about sleep like any other normal adult. Friends, what I'm saying is we lean into an understanding, but God wants to enable you to say this. You know what, God, I'm going to say no to myself and say yes to you. If it was a piece of cake, then all of us would be doing it and be no problem. We just get to go to heaven, not have to worry about stuff here on earth. So Romans 5, 1 and 2 deals with grace. God's grace to enable you. And all I need you to see is this. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter what you've come from. It doesn't matter what you're going into. You need to see that God said that His grace, His enablement is sufficient, present tense, for your need. That means this. He knows exactly what you're going through right now. And He wants to enable you to go through it. Why? Because He's not in shock and awe. As a matter of fact, God says this. And hey, you're all late and we forgive you. He says that good to see you, brother. He said that He inhabits eternity, which means this. It means that God is at your birth as much as He's at your death. As much as He was at your neighbor's birth and your neighbor's death, as much as He's at everybody and 6 billion plus people on earth, their birth and their death all at the same time. So all you need to see is God is here. God is in every place at every time. So He's not in shock and awe, all right, like we are. He's not led by time and space like we are. Hey, what are you smiling about? You're late. You can't be smiling. You're supposed to be frowning. We're judging you, friend. We're judging you. Stop it. Man, you too, man. Stop smiling. Man, you can't be smiling when you're late. In light of that, see, they weren't accessing God's grace this morning. That's the problem. No, what you need to see is this. Romans 5, 1 and 2 is that God gives us grace. Okay, let's get into it. It says this. It says very simply, I'll define a couple things for you. Okay, let's put it this way. I'm trying to put all my thoughts together here as I'm talking to you, and I apologize. We're trying to meet God's standard, right? And there's a lot of standards out there, isn't it? Well, you need to wear a dress all the time, or you need to do this all the time, you need to do that all the time. I understand the different levels of standards that are in your life and the different levels of standards that are in my life. You say, what are your standards? Whatever your pastors are, those are my standards this week, okay? Amen? I've got to be all things to all men. But I will say this, I'm not so much talking about the type of music we listen to or the type of dress that we wear, but I'm telling you this, all of us have a standard in our life. And God says this, I want to enable you to meet that standard. So if we were sitting here and I were to say, listen, I need somebody to touch the top of that flagpole. And we were to take one of the shorter people here. And we were to say, you know, I'm sorry, did my hand point right there? I apologize about that. I meant, okay, let's just say I needed my, you just got to touch the top of the flagpole. All you got to do is touch it. That's no problem. That's going to be a piece of cake. It's no problem. But let's say it's my little 3-year-old daughter, okay, or my 4-year-old son. Johnny, I need you to touch the top of that flagpole. Well, he has a couple options. He really does. He could go up there and say, you know what, Daddy, I can't do it. And he could walk away. Well, a lot of Christians do that, don't they? When God sets a standard and says you need to top it, touch the top of the flagpole, they throw their arms up and they say, well, I can't do it, and they walk away. Do you know what? You're right. You can't do it. But walking away isn't the answer. I can't touch the top of the flagpole. He could say, okay, Daddy, here's what I'm going to do. Daddy, I'm going to grab the flag. God forbid he does this with the American flag, but I guess it's okay with the Christian flag, but it's not okay with the American flag. He can grab that flag and he drops it to the ground and he can touch it no problem. Don't we do that sometimes? God commands us to do something. We say, God, I'll tell you what, I'm going to meet you halfway, God. I can't quite do that, but I'll meet you halfway. So what I'll do is I'll take that standard you want me to do and I'll bring it down to my level. Right? It happens all the time, even out soul winning. Some of us would never tell a soul about Jesus Christ. We'd never do that. But man, maybe I'll just pass a track out to him, which is great. That's great. But God said, no, I want you to talk to that person. He says, I don't just want you to pass out a track. Now, just passing out a track is fine. But I'm just saying on that level, don't we get scared sometimes? Yeah, why? And then we just take God's standard and say, you know what? No, God, I think I can touch it now. It's no problem. Or we can do this. Johnny can come to me. Now, I'm sure he would love to walk away. I'm sure he would love to yank that thing down. I'm sure all those things would be great for John. Or he could say this, Daddy, I can't touch the top of that flagpole. Daddy, can you pick me up to touch the top of that flagpole? And that's what God's grace is. God wants to enable you to meet that standard. Although you know your emotions don't want to do it, and although you know that your feelings don't want to do it, and although your body doesn't want to do it, God says this, no, you surrender to me, and I will pick you up to meet that standard. That's what God wants to do. Listen, I don't want to grow up in the age that you're growing up in. I don't want to do it. If I come in dressing like a nerd, which happens frequently, it's not a big deal to me. If I come in dressing like a nerd and everybody sees me in homeroom, well, maybe those guys, maybe 1,000 people throughout my school would have saw me. Maybe 1,000. Maybe 750. They're the only ones that saw me. No such thing as social media, which I don't think is an evil thing. I think can be used good. Many of you are my friends on social media. But I will say this, is that only a couple people saw me, only 750 to 1,000, but now everybody sees you. I don't want to grow up in this. Everybody knows that you look like a nerd. Or you don't. We'll assume the best. All I'm saying is all these things are real. I need you to see this. You need God's grace just to live daily life. Just not to get frustrated when somebody says something wrong to you. Just not to, now you got your car. And I'm going to tell you this, what's going to happen is someone will cut you off. And you need God's grace just not to yell at them. Why do we even talk to them? Why do you even talk to somebody that cuts you off? They're not even listening to you. It doesn't even matter. You're just talking to yourself, moron. You just don't do that stuff. Friends, in light of that, I just need you, you need God's grace to take your next breath. I'm telling you, you need God's grace for everything. So in light of that, based upon that, it says that we have access by faith in the grace. It starts off here now on that whole thought, meeting God's standard. God's standard is a life worth living. Because watch this. Here's our Christian life many times. Christian school experience, which should be great, right? Because we're in a protected Bible classes and all these other great things, which is a great facade. Because many of your Christian schools are just like public schools with Bible classes. I know that because I'm in both of them, okay? So in light of that, watch this now. Your Christian school experience should be a life worth living. As a matter of fact, your church experience, your youth group experience, your experience in work, even in a secular job, should be a life worth living. That's what the Bible says. Jesus says this. He says, come unto me all that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of spirit. And he says, you shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what that means? That means this. Jesus says this. Everything I ask you to do, everything I put upon you, that yoke that I put upon you, he says, that's easy. He said, and it's light. Not just to him, but to us. You say, why? Because of God's grace. God wants to enable you to do it. Man, God wants to enable you not to get angry. You say, well, man, I get angry and I just take it out on the field is what I do. We hit that field, man. I'm going to elbow somebody. I'm going to punch somebody. We're going to do something, man. It is on. Listen, that's not God's grace. That's just getting out aggression. Right, Code? See what I'm saying? You know what it's like. You just feed on that anger. No, man, don't feed on that anger. There are some things that you can do not to feed on that anger. Watch this now. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's grace. It says, now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. See, he says you're always triumphing. You know, it says this in Romans 8. It calls you more than a conqueror as a Christian. Not as an adult Christian, not as a teenage Christian, not as a five-year-old Christian. I'm telling you, as a Christian, it says doesn't matter the age, you're more than a conqueror, which means this. It has the idea that you're hupernikao is the word. You walk in and you don't only conquer, but you take spoils. That's what you do. See, that means in any situation, where whether it's in school, whether it's out of school, it doesn't matter. Any situation that you are faced against, God says you're going to conquer that situation because you already have. I understand it's great to say, but you got to surrender to it. That's the issue. And many times we get halfway into that situation, we back up. But I'm telling you, friends, it can be done. Now, listen, I just don't, okay, I won't get into all these other things, but why is it that many Christian lives are the exact opposite of that, right? Why is it that in the middle of the night you find yourself at that computer again? Why is that? Why is it that you know that your phone's protected and you know a way around it? Why is it that you keep going back to that same stuff? Why? It's this. It's because we're not accessing God's grace. It's because we're leaning to our own understanding. And I say, listen, I've got failures just like all of you. I'm not going to sit here and tell you them all because I'm supposed to be a preacher. But I'll tell you this, friends. I have failures just like all of you. I got temptations just like all of you. And the difference in some aspects is there's people in here that say this, God, I can't do this. God, I can't do it. God, I need your strength to get through this. And that is accessing God's grace. All right. Now, very simply, all you need to see is many different times. So why is it we constantly get frustrated with people? Why is it that we're weak in prayer and weak in soul winning? Which is probably the least of our worries right now. Why is it? It's because we don't access God's grace. Friends, we don't. It's that simple. Okay, I just can't help getting angry. You say, I just can't help. I got a short fuse. I just can't help it. School has so many dumb rules. I can't believe it. Do you know everywhere has dumb rules? How many public schoolers we have here? Raise your hand. You go to public school. How many homeschoolers we got here? Oh, my introverts. Amen. Look at all you guys. It's all right, guys. I'm not going to pick on homeschool too much, okay? I won't do it. I don't want you to get upset. I don't want to talk to mom and dad. All right? Because I don't care. I got homeschoolers at home, too. How many Christian schoolers we got? Let me ask you guys a question. How many dumb rules, even at homeschool? Why can't you wear your jammies? What? Huh? My kids do. Why can't you do some of these? How many dumb rules at your Christian school, at your public school, even your home school? How many have dumb rules? You think, man, I got some stupid. I'll be honest with you, preacher. I got some dumb rules. This just makes no sense. Anybody? Well, that's a lot of people. How many say, I follow every rule, man? I mean, I just dumb rule. No, I don't got a dumb rule in mine. No dumb rules here. Anybody? Friends, all I'm telling you is this. Friends, we all got dumb rules. 55 in a place where you know you can go 80? What is the point? That is so stupid. You're like, man, it's a straight stretch. I can jack this car. There's no problem. Friends, what I'm saying is this, is we all got dumb rules. Friends, the fact isn't the dumb rules. The problem is this. It's not the rules. It's our surrender. Just got to surrender to it. Okay, so very simply. See, you don't see it, preacher. See, I just keep getting angry. It's because I'm Irish. It's because I'm German. I'm Irish and German, okay? So I guess I should be angry all the time. It's my friend's preacher. My kids will say this, man, that boy said something to me. That boy's my friend, Dad, and he shouldn't be doing what he's doing. And he made me do that, Dad. It's my friends. They just drag me down. You know what my mama used to tell me? Get new friends. Your friends go drag you down, you get new friends, son. I'm not going to make my mom sound tougher than what she was, but I will tell you this. I came around the corner cussing one day, and I blamed her on somebody else, and she smacked me across the face like a man. I'll tell you what I never did. Never cussed in her house, ever. Ever. This is what you got to see. Every time we give in, anytime we give in to failure like that, we got to realize this. Anytime we say, I can't, anytime we use terminology like that, anytime we blame it on somebody else, we're saying this, God, I'm not accessing your grace. God, you're weak, is what we're saying. God, you're weak. So all I say is this. So here we go. We need divine intervention, okay? So we'll get into it, and I'll explain this here real quick, and we'll explain a couple different things, and we'll be done. So here's the verses, all right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's telling you that you're saved through faith, okay? You got faith in God. You're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Now watch this. It says that you're justified, and because you're justified, because you're saved, you have peace with God. You know this right now? It doesn't matter if you sinned every single day last week, you still have peace with God. Well, that's a great truth, isn't it? Because I'll tell you what, some of us look at God, we look at it like he's a big hammer and it's going to fall from the sky, and all he's waiting to do is crush us. And God's up there and he's a big judge. Although he's a big judge, he's a big father. And you need to see this, friends, is that although you may have issues in your life and things that you're struggling and battling through and things that you're fighting about, I will tell you this, God is still at peace with you. The issue is this, we put a division between us. If my son, Chris, gets in all kinds of trouble, I'm going to tell you this, the first person he wants to talk to is not me, friends. It's not me. Why? Because he has put a division between us. Now, do I love him unconditionally? Yeah. Every time he comes to me, I don't sit there and say, well, son, you know, you used to be a fisher yesterday, but today you're not a fisher anymore. I'm sorry. I'm disowning you. I love you no longer. No, no, no. I tell my kids all the time, and it comes from a country song. I hate to say it that way, but I sat my kids on my knee not too long ago, and I said this. I said, kids, listen. I said, you can never do anything to cause daddy not to love you. Never. I said, daddy will love you unconditionally all the time. All the time. My son, Christopher, always says, well, daddy, what if I kill somebody? I said, why do you even say that? Why do you even say that? I said, of course I got to love you, but now you're in jail, so I love you in jail. Friends, all I need you to see is all of this stuff God wants to enable you to do. And if you get your eyes fixed on yourself, you're going to see yourself as worthless. You're going to see yourself as weak, and you're going to see yourself as feeble, which is fine. But you got to fix your eyes on the one that can enable you. Listen, God loves you just as much as the person sitting next to you. God loves you unconditionally. I'm not saying there's not going to be times of judgment because we all know what that looks like, but because you're justified, you have peace with God. You don't need to work it up, work it in, and work it out. It's what you are. It's what you have. You have peace with God. All right, secondly is this. You got peace with God for, yes, living, but you got peace with God for dying, both of those different things. But here's how we have peace with God, and this is the enablement part of it. It says, by whom? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? Pointing back to Jesus Christ. Also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So here's what it's saying. All this grace that we're talking about, it says you got access by faith. It's not saying you need to work it up. You don't need to do something special. You don't need to do your devotions 50 times this week in order to have grace with God. Although you should do your devotions, that's not the issue. Although you should pray, although you should go out soul winning, although you should act right and do all these different things, it's not mandatory to access God's grace. See, God's grace is just saying yes to God. And I know what happens is this. It seems like you're over here all the way at the organ, and you're all the way over here at the pulpit now, and right there is doing right, all the way back at the organ. But you're all the way over here past the communion table, and you're thinking, man, I'm too far. You don't get it. See, I got to go all the way back there to do right. No, no, watch this now. You're going the wrong direction. What's this? This is the right direction, right? See, God's right here. God's just asking you to turn around and access his grace. Step by step by step by step by step. You don't have to get all the way back here and say, now I can serve God. Now I can access his grace. No, he says you're walking in the wrong direction. Now turn. All right, now you're walking in the right direction. Friends, very simply, it's just accessing God's grace. It says this, by whom, by Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace. So it says you have it. All you need to do is have faith. Let's put it this way. Let's say you're watching a good team play. It's probably not Georgia. I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you. It's probably Bama. But anyway, as a result of all those things, no, I hate to say that to you. I hate to tell the truth. But what I'm saying is this. Let's say you're watching a pro team because you guys, Georgia doesn't have a pro team, right? So, oh, wait, you guys got, no, you guys don't have a pro team. So let's say you're watching, right? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so you do have a pro team. I forgot, the Atlanta Falcons. So in light of that, let's say you're watching the Falcons win, and let's just say they're playing the Patriots or something like that, okay? And they're actually winning the game. It's the first half of the season, okay, or the first half of the Super Bowl, and they're beating them. It's unbelievable. I was rooting for the Falcons, by the way. First time ever in history I was ever rooting for the Falcons was there during the Super Bowl, and I'm going to be honest with you. They let me down. They let me down. They let you guys down. They let me down. I think they ruined a whole nation at that time. If they would have beat the Patriots, there would be no contention. There would be nothing. They couldn't even get close to the Steelers. They couldn't even get close to them. But now, by you guys losing, it has now put them in favor to try to beat the Steelers someday. I'm not bitter at the whole state of Georgia. I'm just telling you, I love you guys. But the Falcons, I'm just not a fan anymore. Is anybody else with me? You don't even have to be. It's fact. Here it is. It's all in the books. I have the stats already. What you need to see is this. In light of all that, let's say you're watching the Falcons win a game, okay, and they're going to beat the Patriots this time. So there it is. It's halftime. They're in the lead, as was this past Super Bowl. And you decide, you know what? I got to go outside and I got to get a hot dog is what I need to do. And if you're going to go to the ballpark, it's about $5 for a hot dog at the ballpark. I mean, it's expensive. It really is. So you go out and you decide, man, I don't have my money on me. I can't believe I forgot my wallet. So you got to go out and you got to get it. Or I forgot my purse. Man, I got to go out. I left it out in the glove box. So you go out in the glove box and you're digging around. You're digging maybe in the passenger seat. Sure enough, you grab your $5. You come walking back toward the door in the entryway, and you got a couple options. You can scale the wall. You can try to. I mean, you can try to scale the wall, and you get up toward the top, and you're thinking, man, I'm never going to make this. And you won't make it, okay? You just don't make it. They're designed that way. You can't scale the wall. You come back down, and you can decide, you know what? I don't know if the usher is going to let me back in. Maybe I just go listen to it on the radio. You can go back and you can listen to it on the radio. You can go watch it on the big screen at home. Or you can do this. Watch this now. You know you got a seat at the 50-yard line. You know you got a seat in the ball game. You can do this. By faith, you can reach in your pocket and you grab a ticket stub, can't you? And by faith, you can show it to the usher. And what's he going to do? He's going to say, oh, you're right there at the 50-yard line. Friends, I'm telling you, you got a ticket stub in your pocket to God's grace anytime you want to. And some of you need to access it and get rid of the bitterness about me talking about the Falcons, about Georgetown. You need to get rid of the bitterness. Friends, what I'm saying is this, is by faith, here's what you need to do. I really don't care either way. But, I don't care either way about the football teams. But in light of that, you gotta reach in your pocket and pull out that ticket. You need to show it to God on numerous occasions and say this. God, I feel pretty weak right now. I mean, God, I feel real weak. But God, you said, I got access to grace. And I'm going to tell you, some of you are going to go through some struggles and some trials. And some of you already have gone through some struggles and trials because this is the world we live in. And what you're going to need to do is when the tears are flowing, I'm going to tell you this, you're going to need to reach in your pocket. And you're going to say, God, I don't feel like I got your strength at all. But I need at this time your grace just like you said. And sometimes that's going to come out in a weeping time, and sometimes that's going to come out in a time of boldness. I'm going to tell you, when you're out there and you're proclaiming the Word of God, or you're doing something like that, or you're praying, and you say, man, I got everything all figured out, man. All my I's are dotted, all my T's are crossed. I got this all figured out. It's easy to reach in your pocket and say, God, give me that strength. But I'm going to tell you what, friends. Let me tell you a story. I was just in a hospital room out in Montana. I was out there doing a camp. I run a camp out there in Montana every summer. And when I was coming back, there I was in a hospital room. And I'm going to tell you what, I was standing before Tiffany Halverson. You say, who's Tiffany Halverson? Tiffany Halverson was a 24-year-old young lady. She had Crohn's disease, and then she just 3 weeks earlier than this, she got stage 4 cancer. I want to tell you what, I saw this girl, she was sedated, not at the time that I saw her, but a week before that, she was sedated. She was in Salt Lake City, Utah at that time before she got transferred to Billings, Montana. She was sedated and she was telling people about Jesus Christ. I thought, wow. Do you ever see those people in those videos that get their wisdom teeth removed and they start talking crazy stuff? Like, do you see that one where there's a zombie attack or an apocalypse and the two brothers kind of, yeah, I watched that one too. And it kind of makes you chuckle. People say funny things, but she's proclaiming Christ. She's not saying funny things. Friends, all I'm telling you is this. I sat there in that hospital room with her and I thought this. You know what I needed personally? I needed God's grace just to be able to tell her this. I think God can do something amazing in your life. Listen, I don't know if he will, but I know God does want to, or God can heal you. I don't know if he wants to, but I know he can heal you. And I'm standing there, I go up and give her a hug, all these tubes and all these other things in her, and I thought, man, I ministered to this girl on numerous occasions, and now here she lay, stage 4 cancer, given weeks to live. I'll tell you, at times like that, friends, you know what you need to be able to pray a prayer for this person? You need God's grace. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Listen, let me be very practical with you. In a breakup situation that I don't agree with all the dating and stuff like that, but I'll tell you what, those emotions that happened at that time, you know what you need? God's grace to show you this. That ain't the right one for you, bud. That wasn't the right one for you, ma'am. And all the tears that you wasted on that and all those other things, you know what you're going to do at the end of the day? Go up to God and say, God, I need your strength. Friends, I'm telling you, when the crazy things happen. Now, Tiffany did. I'm going to tell you this. I just got a call. I just had to walk to the pulpit. On the way to the pulpit last week, I'm in Michigan. I get a text that says this. Tiffany just passed away. You know what I needed at that time? God's grace. Friends, all I need you to see is this. Not to jerk on your emotion strings and all these other things. You need to see this. You need God's grace to enable you. Why? Because as you're walking in, you need to see you have a ticket to the ball game. You got a ticket at the 50-yard line, and all you need to do is look up to God and say, God, I need it. I need it right now. Simple? No. Let me tell you something about the Christian life. It's referred to as a fight. It's referred to as a race. It's referred to as a battle. I'm going to tell you this, man. Christian life is difficult. That's why we need God's grace. You say, is it worth it? Friends, it's worth it. Oh, it's 100% worth it. All the time? Yeah, sometimes you even got to surrender to that statement too. But I will tell you this. God wants to enable you to do everything He's asking you to do. If you're on your way to college, if you're dating somebody or any of these things like this, I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to run to God and say this. God, is this yours? Is this what you want? And God, if this is what you want, then you got to enable me to do it. If I could get you to understand one thing before we're done is this. We'll get you out of here a little bit early. Wouldn't that be an encouragement? There's nothing to do outside. Stand in the rain. It'd be better at the preacher about talking about Georgetown and Atlanta Falcons. I really forgot about Atlanta. I apologize. I really thought I was on. I thought you're like West Virginia. You didn't have a football team, but sorry about that. But in light of that, is there any West Virginians here? Might as well stick my foot in my mouth at everybody. Anyway, what are you going through? God wants to enable you. That's what I'm saying. And if anybody says, no, you're too young, you don't get it, you can't be used of God, well then, I don't know where they got that statement, but it wasn't the Bible. God wants to enable you to do anything that He's asking you to do right now. You say, I'm introverted. Not everybody can be like Jeremiah. All right? Jeremiah, there's nothing introverted about that boy. But I'll tell you this, or Brad, but in light of those things, God wants to enable you. So I want you to think, take a second here. What are you going through? What is it that you're going through? What is it that you have this week if Jesus doesn't come back? I know some of us are praying Jesus comes back. I get it. But what test do you got this week on a practical note? What are you going to be faced with? What person are you going to see? Maybe somebody picked on you. God forbid that ever happens. Come on in, sis. You're all right. Hey, you're not interrupting. We won't pick on her. We won't pick on her. Don't pick on her, preacher. So in light of that, see it for what it's worth. God wants to enable you by His grace. He wants to do the amazing things. He wants to do amazing things in your life. Okay, He really does. What are you going to trust Him for? It's a good question, isn't it? Suppose. So very simply, God wants to enable you by His grace. You got a ticket to the ball game, and at any time, you got to know this, that God will enable you. God will strengthen you. I'm not going to belabor it. I'm not going to take any longer because we got time. We got things to do. I got coffee to drink. We got special things happening, okay? appreciate your attention. I sure do. Don't forget about a couple things. Don't forget about, here's some very practical things. Don't forget, every Wednesday night we'll go over a practical truth, okay? We'll do some competitions and things like that, some Minute to Win It stuff and some other things. If it's raining outside, if it's not, we'll just do some Minute to Win It stuff. And then don't forget about, invite people to the park. You guys know the location and everything, and I'm sure we'll have some flyers or whatever else on that. But hey, we got some opportunities too in some of the public schools. I think we're going to try to see Brother Dixon. I say Brother Dixon because I believe he's a saved man, Mr. Dixon. We're going to be over there and try and get in some health classes and be able to talk during the day in some of the health classes. And then we have some other opportunities in the schools that we're going to approach and we're going to try to get in, okay? So I know I appreciate Christian schools too, but we're going to try to get into the public schools and see what we can see and invite some of those guys out for some of the competitions and things that are going to go on. So we'll make it low-key. It's not going to be too intense, too crazy, but we'll utilize some of the big ball stuff and some of the other things, all right? Let's pray. We'll get on out of here. Lord, I do realize my weakness. I sure do, and I know that many people do realize their weakness, and that's not a wrong thing. We are weak, and we'll always be weak, Lord, but we want to realize your strength, for we're weak, and we'll always be weak, but you're strong, and you'll always be strong. And God, more than anything, we pray that you work in our lives. We really do. And Lord, sometimes you're going to have to be real loud with us because we're really not listening. And Lord, we need you at times to say it again and again and again. And we pray that you do. Lord, as much as we'd like to say we listen the first time, sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes we miss your voice. And Lord, I'm praying for your divine enablement, your divine strength in our lives called by your grace. Lord, these guys have things that I don't even want to go through happening in their lives. And Father, I have things that they don't want to go through happening in my life. But Lord, I know this, for each situation, for each individual life here, I know that your grace is sufficient. You know our need and you want to enable us to go through it. Lord Jesus, we do praise you. We do love you and we do thank you. In Christ's name, amen.